Hey guys, it's Liz, and you are listening to Dear Younger Me, Love Me, where we give people the chance to write a letter to their younger selves in hopes that we can learn a little bit from their lives. Hey guys, this is Dear Younger Me, Love Me, and today we have Angel Moyer with us, and Angel is, are you 21?
I am 21.
You're 21. She is going to be a senior at Huntington University this next fall. We're currently in the summer, rocking summertime vibes, and it's lovely. And you finished your really hard 2020-2021 school year because it was hard for everybody. But you are a social work major, and you currently are killing it at Culver's.
Yeah, I am.
How long have you worked at Culver's?
This is my fourth year.
Okay, dang. Mm-hmm. You are so great at those, like, cheese curds and making those, what are those hamburgers called?
Butter burgers.
Mm-hmm. You can tell how often I go to Culver's. Butter burgers and all that kind of stuff. But Angel is super fun, and I've known her for a long time just through your involvement with Youth for Christ in different areas. You didn't grow up here in Huntington. You grew up in a real small town close to Huntington called South Whitley.
Yes.
Going to Whitco
High
School and then coming to Huntington University. But I've known Angel for a long time, and you're just so fun. You're so cool, and I just think you're awesome. So I'm glad that you're here today.
I'm excited.
Yeah, you're excited, a little nervous, but it's great.
A little nervous.
But through conversations and getting to know each other, Angel, you and I are pretty similar when it comes to having this independent streak of wanting to do things on our own, having a hard time asking for help growing up. And even though you probably didn't teach yourself how to ride a bike when you were five, like me, because that's how extreme I take things too. I'm an extreme human. But that really came to play for you, this not asking for help and wanting to do things on your own and like gritting and bearing it kind of thing really came to play your eighth grade year, right? Mm-hmm. And so will you share a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, for sure. So growing up, my parents, they argued a lot. And I didn't really know why, but my eighth grade year, we got a new house. We, like, moved from my grandma. And so we were kind of, like, by ourselves for, like, the first time ever. And they just started arguing way more than usual. Mm. And I eventually found out that during eighth grade year that my dad abused alcohol. And he had an addiction to that. And that was really, really hard for me. And I just, like, had this perfect idea that our family was, like, great and, like, to the outside eye, like, we were perfect, and my parents loved each other so much, and all of these things. And I just remember that I was like, I have to uphold that image. Like, I can't let anyone know that my dad is struggling with these things or that I'm struggling with these things. So I definitely bottled that up, and I, like, took it upon myself to, like, try to fix my dad, I think.
Mm, yeah.
That was definitely, like, what my goal was, and I didn't share anything with anyone. And I just remember I kind of had a relationship with Christ during this, but, like, it was, like, very basic level. Definitely did not, like, bring him into it and talk to him about it and stuff like that. But I just remember it got to the point, eighth grade year, that I just, like, broke down during church on Father's Day, and I was like, I just, like, can't do this anymore. Like, no one knew anything. And I was just trying so hard to fix my family and fix everything so that we could go back to being the perfect little family.
Yeah. Oh, and as a little eighth grader, it's so hard to try to deal with all these adult things. Mm-hmm. But you're just in eighth grade, and you don't really have the resources to be able to do that. And this is your dad's issue, not yours. Mm-hmm. But we always take those on our own, and, you know, like you were saying, like, trying to fix it and all that. And you said you lived with your grandma before all of that. Did you guys just all live together? What was going on there?
So my family has always moved around our whole entire life. We lived in one place for a really long time. It was a really unhealthy environment, though. We rented from my dad's friend, which he also struggled with the exact same things that my dad did.
Yeah.
So, but eventually, like, they had, like, a fallout, and then so, like, we didn't have a place to live. Like, we lived there for a really long time, though. We lived there for, like, 6 years, probably. Okay. And they had, like, a fallout, so then, like, we didn't have a place to live. So we lived with my grandma for a really long time, and I think my dad just tried to, like, not make things as apparent at my grandma's house. Like, he was still struggling. He, like, still did the same things, but
he hid it a little bit more?
Yeah, for sure. And he's also been in and out of jail, like, throughout life, too. And even when we lived with my grandma, I think he was in jail for a little bit. But it's just, it's just been, like, it was kind of unstable
yeah.
for a little bit before yeah. I started living with my grandma.
Do you have siblings?
I do. I have two brothers and a sister.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What, and are you, like, where do you land in that? Are you oldest, middle,
young, second oldest.
Second oldest?
I think. My sister's the oldest. Okay. I never know how to state it, but yes. Okay. I think I'm the second oldest.
You're the second oldest.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. That sounds good. And so how did that affect your family dynamics?
I think I would describe it as it was always kind of me and my brothers and my mom.
Yeah.
My dad, or not my dad, my sister didn't really like being at home
yeah.
around us that much because of just like the stuff that we went through and stuff. But it kind of was definitely, I just feel like me, my mom, and my brothers. Mm-hmm. And then my dad was there sometimes. Like he was a great, he's a great dad,
yeah.
but he just, a lot of the time he was like a different person when he was doing those things.
Yeah.
And, but when he wasn't doing those things, he was great. Mm. But,
which is really yeah. confusing
mm-hmm.
as a kid for and sure. experiencing this, as you experience your dad one way and you experience yeah. your dad another way. And it's super confusing mm-hmm. to know, like, okay, I never really know which person I'm going to get yeah. right now. And mm-hmm. so eighth grade, you discover all of this, your world is rocked. Mm-hmm. You have this breakdown. What happens then?
Yeah. So, eighth grade year, found that out. I kept that so bottled up freshman mm. year and sophomore year of high school. Man, oh man, no one would have ever known that I was experiencing anything that I've been experiencing. And living in our new house, so we bought a new house and moved out of my grandma's, and it was the first house we ever owned, which was super exciting.
Yeah.
But my dad just didn't have a reason to hide anything anymore. And it kind of got worse. He started hanging out with people that like weren't great influences. And I just kept on bottling it up. Like, yeah. I truly was like, I have to keep this so hidden. Like, my best friend was, we were best friends since, like, third grade. And not even she out of, like, all, and she, like, came over to my house frequently. Mm-hmm. And, like, she didn't even know that my parents were arguing all the time and that my dad was doing these things. So I bottled it up and I started putting my identity in my successes at school too.
Yeah.
That was something else that I eventually struggled with, was like my identity, and that like if anyone knew these things, that I would be like not, like I would be worthless, mm-hmm. I guess is what I was, what was going through my head. So I like, my GPA was the most important thing to me. My school yeah. activities were the most important thing to me. My friendships were the most important thing to me. And like, I, like, just put all of my identity in my GPA and my classes and mm-hmm. all of those things.
Well, yeah, because, like, image is mm-hmm, so important.
Mm-hmm,
and
sure.
so right now you're protecting this image of your family. Mm-hmm. Now you're protecting your image of being a successful yeah. student. It's all kind of sounding like it's the root of it mm-hmm. is this idea that, like, this image defines who you are.
Yeah, for you know? Sure.
Yeah.
I wanted to prove to everyone that, like, even though nobody knew anything because I hadn't shared anything, like, I was trying to prove to myself and other people that I wasn't my dad and I wasn't my mom and I wasn't my brothers. Like, I wasn't my family.
Yeah.
So, which is true, but, like, mm-hmm. I was trying to do that in an unhealthy way.
Yeah.
Like, work myself to death and, like, those different things. So, that was freshman and sophomore year. And then junior year, Eventually, my parents decided to get a divorce,
okay.
and my world, like, crashed.
Yeah, because you couldn't hide it anymore. Mm-hmm. Everybody else knew yeah. what was going on.
Yeah, and I didn't know how to deal with this by myself. Like, I knew how to make sure that my dad wasn't doing anything super stupid and, like, things like that. Like, I knew how to handle things to the point where, like, I didn't feel anything anymore, you know? Like, I didn't have to feel the emotions. But then my parents got a divorce, and, like, my parents were married my whole entire life,
yeah.
like, forever. And I just didn't know how to handle it. And eventually I got to the point where I was like, I truly don't know what to do with this. Mm-hmm. And, again, I just put it in school and I put it in all these things and still didn't share anything with anyone.
So that whole time you were doing a lot of outward stuff, mm-hmm. but how did you feel on the inside?
During this time, I definitely felt gross and I felt overwhelmed and I felt exhausted and
yeah.
even though I, like, had these people that cared about me, I don't know if I just didn't believe that they didn't care about me, but, like, I didn't share anything with them. And, like, no one knowing the deeper parts of me was just really exhausting, and I felt really, really alone.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you always, like, we've talked about this before on this podcast, where when we hide stuff like mm-hmm. that, when somebody says, I love you so much,
mm-hmm.
and you want to accept that, but there's always that thing in your back of your mind that's like, but if only you knew this, then would you not love me anymore? It's like that. Once you, if you're holding something back, there's always that question of whether they're still going to love and accept you because you're not giving them everything.
Yeah.
You know? And so that like, oh, if only you knew.
Yeah.
You know? And so then you're wanting to like hide all of that and everything. So, man. And so what led you to finally share stuff with people?
So, like I said, in eighth grade, I had a relationship with God. Kind of. Very basic level. Yeah. Prayed to him sometimes. But, and then throughout high school, I still was kind of, like, I still had a relationship with God. Like, the part, I just wasn't letting him either. I wasn't being vulnerable with him and wasn't doing any of those things with him either. Because in my head, I thought the same thing with God that I thought about other people, I think.
Mm-hmm. Just a lot of fear.
Yeah. And it would make it real if I, like, let him into it.
Yeah.
But I met my Youth for Christ director my freshman year of high school, I think. But one day she like randomly asked me to go get Dairy Queen. And I said, sure, why not? Barely knew her. But like I ended up pouring out my whole entire story to her at that Dairy Queen trip. And that was like I barely knew her at that moment. But she like welcomed me in so much love. And I think that was the first time that I experienced God's love. Through another person, and she just listened to me, and she reminded me of that identity that is in Christ and not in other people or in my family or anything like that.
Or your achievements.
Yeah, or my achievements. And I just, like, experienced God's love right in that moment, and it just felt so good. And so that eventually led me to sharing my testimony with I was in gospel choir in high school, too, and I started sharing my testimony, like, in front of churches, like, every single Sunday of my junior year, which was insane to think about. Can't believe I did that.
But wait, explain what gospel choir is for those of us who aren't familiar with your gospel choir.
Yes, yes. So my school had gospel choir, which was a choir, and we went out every Sunday and sang to, like, different churches in my community and, like, praise Jesus with them and just worship Jesus. So that was, like, a class. And we did that every Sunday. And she was like, does anyone want to, like, share their testimony? And I, like, got up there and I, like, did it in front of the whole class. And then, like, and of course not a single person, like, knew any of that stuff about me. And they said,
because you're not sharing it with your friends.
Mm-hmm. They were so surprised. But eventually I just did it every single Sunday because I was the only one that offered to do it. And I just did it every single Sunday. And, like, I just – opening up, like, you realize, like, all, too, that, like, God has done in that as well. Like, every Sunday when I would share, I was like, this feels so distant because, like, Jesus has been so present in all of it.
Yeah.
And just, like, being open with other people, like, I learned to, like, start being vulnerable with God, too, which even, like, helped me be vulnerable with other people. But and just, like, made me realize that as hard as everything was, like, it just felt different because Jesus was present, and like I was able to notice that more when I started actually sharing things with people.
Yeah, and just sharing what he's done, and I think a lot of times we pray things like God be with us today or that kind of thing, but God's already with us. We just need to be aware of his presence, you know? And so like we don't need to pray for God to be with us. He's already there, but it's like, God, make me aware of your presence that's already here. Yeah. And your story is just a huge part of that, where it's like God's presence was with you the whole time.
Yeah.
Then you finally started to be open to it and realize that it was there, and it changed, it changed everything.
Yeah, for sure.
So how were you from that conversation with your campus life director, Danny? Shout out to Danny Blackburn. We love her.
We sure do.
But like that conversation with her, that, I mean, it's not just a snap your fingers, everything's good to go.
Right.
Right. So what did that journey look like through healing and learning to share with other people? Because I mean, you share it with someone and then you're like, okay, well, I did it. But now you're sharing your testimony with that. Like, how did that journey go?
Yeah, that conversation, like, basically instilled in me this comfort that I am not identified by my parents or their mistakes or my mistakes or anything like that, and that my identity was solely in Jesus. And honestly, it just became, like, so apparent to me, like, in every single day life that he was there and he was present, and he definitely started to get, like, I mean, he he already gave me strength, but like I started to like, once I let him in,
yeah,
I like had that strength to be able to start sharing with people and to share with larger groups of people, like not just share my testimony with people, but like be vulnerable with mm-hmm. people. But it began with me being able to be vulnerable with Jesus too.
Yeah.
Because knowing that he was there was huge, mm-hmm. even though he had already been there.
Yeah. So what is being, like, some people are hearing this mm-hmm. and they're like, I don't know how to even begin to be mm-hmm. vulnerable with Jesus. Right. Like, do I just pray? Like, what mm-hmm. do I do? So how did you start opening up to Jesus more?
Yeah. Bringing it to, like, bringing it to light, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, we also have to share with God's people, too. Mm-hmm. We can't deal with things by ourselves. And, of course, going to Jesus is so important. But also, if you're hiding all that other stuff from other people, too, like, you're still not bringing it to light, you know? So being able to bring it to other people, like, definitely helped me be more vulnerable with God. Because also, they offer wisdom when you share with God's people and, like, how to be closer to Him and, like, yeah. all those things. And they can help you in that journey. And that's exactly what happened, too. And sometimes it just means, like, in the hard moments, like, just going to Him with it, because He is there and He knows mm-hmm. what you're going through. But, like, being able to, like, just talk to Him about it yeah. and, like, bring Him into that, I
yeah.
guess.
So, yeah, when you're sad, tell God you're sad.
Right.
When exactly. you're mad, you can tell Him you're mad. Mm-hmm. If you're, like, feel really lonely, well, mm-hmm. tell Him you're, like, tell mm-hmm. Him you're lonely. Like, bring Him into your, like, who mm-hmm. you are, because yes, He already knows it, mm-hmm. but there's so much more when it comes to just having yeah. a conversation mm-hmm. and telling God exactly what's mm-hmm. going on in your mind and mm-hmm. not being like, well, God, you already know,
right?
But for us, we need that connection yeah, with Him
for sure. Like, you have to work on a relationship, and like being able to, or like sharing those things is like continuing to like yeah. pursue that relationship, because He's constantly pursuing mm-hmm. us, but like we also have to pursue Him as well.
Yeah.
And it just meant being more intentional about bringing Him into things and like making sure that I wasn't like just like something hard happening and then going home and going to sleep,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm not dealing with anything mm-hmm. if I do that.
Numbing out.
Yeah, exactly. And I got really good at that.
yeah. yeah. So your parents are getting a divorce mm-hmm. and you're left opening up, and now you're mm-hmm. being vulnerable and you're able to share some of that hard mm-hmm. hard emotions that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
What happens when you go to college? Mm-hmm. Right? You go to college, fresh start.
Yeah.
People really don't know you very much. Mm-hmm. Are you still that vulnerable, or mm-hmm. are you like, you know what, maybe I might keep this to myself for a little mm-hmm. bit? Like, where do you land there?
Yeah. So freshman year was rough okay. when I went to college. I had like built all this up, and like people finally knew things about me, and I finally had people who loved me, and like I felt safe with it and all that stuff. But then I went to college and I didn't know anyone, and no one knew. In South Whitley, everyone knows my family and yeah. everyone knows everything.
It's a very small town.
Exactly. And even if they didn't know my story, they knew my dad.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like too hard to put two and two together. Mm-hmm. But then I came to HU and like just tons of new people that I did not know at all. And I was like, and I like had gotten so comfortable sharing things with people.
Yeah.
But then I like came here and I was like, oh man, like this is like a whole new ballpark. Mm-hmm. And it was weird being around like a community of believers too, because like I wasn't used to that at my old school
yeah.
either. So it was hard. All of the progress that I had made had like very quickly, like I shut down because mm-hmm. I was like, I like got this like fake idea of these people in my head, I
yeah.
think. And it made it harder to share with them because I didn't know how loving they were going to be. And I didn't know any of those things. So I just didn't share with them. And I tried to just like be by myself and like, and eventually it went back to me, like, not sharing things with God again.
Yeah.
But
you fell back into your old mm-hmm, habits.
Right.
When we're in a new environment and when mm-hmm. when we have to change our routine mm-hmm. and change who we spend time with and all that, a yeah. lot of times we do fall back to some of our mm-hmm. old coping mechanisms because yeah. it's survival mode mm-hmm. a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. And I did. I, like, was quickly very closed off.
Yeah.
And, like, I was not making friends or any of those things. But I still had, like, mentors in my life during that time, and they were still speaking into my life and still, like, helping me and, like, giving me advice and wisdom and stuff. But it honestly took that intentional decision to, like, let God back in
yeah.
and to be able to share with people. I still don't even think freshman year I found people that I felt safe enough to share things with, which was on my part, mm-hmm. but like I made the intentional decision to let God back in and to be vulnerable with him. And then things started to change. And because there's just so much joy that comes from having that intentional relationship with Jesus, you know, and all the hard times. And things definitely like started to change once I like made that intentional decision again.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. And so when you're holding everybody at arm's length, not mm-hmm. sharing anything, you don't really develop those deep relationships. Right. Therefore, you don't feel safe enough to share with anybody because you haven't given anybody a chance to mm-hmm. be trusted,
yeah.
right? I think a lot of times we feel like trust needs to be earned, mm-hmm. but trust actually needs to be gifted. Mm-hmm. Like I gift you my trust. Mm-hmm. You don't have to earn it. Mm-hmm. I can gift it to you. And if you prove yourself like, mm-hmm. oh, time and time again, that you're probably not a healthy person for me, then that's when I can take my trust away. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Jesus tells us to just like with believers, with brothers and sisters in Christ, like, trust each other first and then move from there.
Yeah.
You know, it's a gift.
Yeah, for sure. Eventually, like, I got to that point, I think. It didn't come until sophomore year, but I am still learning vulnerability mm-hmm. every single day, and it is still not something I'm fully great at. Mm-hmm. But, like, realizing that just gifting that to people instead of like trying to make people prove it has like changed the way that I do share things with people.
Yeah. Well, and it's big because now that you know a weak spot for you, mm-hmm. like a habit that you have that you can easily fall back in, that's not like, well, I guess I'm always going to deal with this.
Yeah.
It's like, no, now that I know this about myself and the habits that I tend to form, this is something I need to always have my eyes on and be intentional about. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think sometimes we look at our strengths and our weaknesses and our struggles and we're like, well, I struggle with being vulnerable. And then we leave it there. Mm-hmm. But it's like, no, if you struggle with being vulnerable,
yeah.
keep your eye on it. Mm-hmm. Keep working on it and keep checking because you're probably still going to backslide and that's okay.
Yeah.
As long as you just keep looking at it and keep checking yourself and keep asking God to examine your heart and all of those things.
Yeah.
You know, man, you're going into your senior year of college, right?
Right.
And how's stuff at home now? How's those relationships looking for you now?
Yeah. So, things definitely are different. It's still hard, but because I made that intentional choice, like junior and senior year, to be more vulnerable with God and to let him carry those burdens that I was never meant to carry on my own, it feels different and like I'm able to handle things different. Things with my dad still aren't great and things with my family are still not great. But like I'm able to look back at that and I'm able to still see the way that God like transformed my family. It may not have been in the way that I wanted or the way that I thought that it was going to be like 5 years later, but like I'm able to look back at that and I'm like still able to see the way that my mom has changed and that I have transformed and my brothers have changed. And like it's still hard, but it doesn't hurt like it used to. Okay. I guess if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I definitely like I'm still able to, like, the strength and the joy only comes from my relationship with God and, like, my intentional decision to, like, pursue that, I guess. So, definitely, he has been present in all of it. And, I mean, he was always going to be present in it. But, like, it's just when you talk about it and you open up and you're able to, like, notice those things, like, it's different.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and now in college, like you said, you have to be intentional about your weaknesses. And vulnerability is something that I still struggle with a lot. But God has, like, even in high school, and now he continues to place people in my life that love me so much and show their love, show Jesus's love through the way that they love me. And I still have to work so hard at being vulnerable with them and being able to share things with them. But God created us to be in community with one another and to glorify him. And I just have to remind myself that frequently and have to check my level of vulnerability.
Yeah. So I have a small group and we've been meeting together for, you know, 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. And we always make the joke that if it's something that we don't want to share with the group, we probably should. you know, if it's something we want to hide and something we don't really want to talk about, that means we really need to.
Yeah.
Right. Because we want to tuck it away in darkness and be like, oh, you know what? I don't really need to share this thing because it's a little embarrassing or it's like they're probably annoyed with how many times I've talked about this or, you know, fill in whatever lie you want to believe. But when you have that feeling of, I want to hide, that's when you need to continue to push through and share what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have learned that throughout college so much. And I have such good friends that push me in that too, which is really incredible. And God has been so gracious in the people that he's provided me with in college. It's been great.
Yeah. So what are some verses that have stuck out to you over this that bring you back to God, that bring you back to that trust, that bring you back to being vulnerable, whatever that is? What are some verses that just like are always on your heart?
Yes. Romans 5:3-5 is something that I found my freshman year of college, and it has stuck with me a lot since freshman year in college. So it is, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. And I think that has stuck with me. I wish I like had known that verse in high school, but in high school I like learned that what I was going through was being used for something. Yeah. And that is why it was so easy to share, I think. And that's why I like my testimony has been like used in so many different ways. And that doesn't make it any easier for sure.
Yeah.
But like being able to know that God is using my thing or my hard circumstances to like be able to share with people and to help other people, especially like because I feel I like have been involved in youth ministry with Youth for Christ for like in the past. And that is like just the thing that kept me going through like all of the hard stuff was like, I know that so many other kids are dealing with the exact same thing that I'm dealing with right now, and being able to use what I have gone through to help them through that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it reminds me every day that like the things that I'm going through are like, they're for the, like it's going to help other people and it's going to be used for something. They're not pointless, you know?
And I love that verse because I love it that it stacks on top of each other, right? Like, so it's talking about like endurance. Mm-hmm. Well, endurance leads to hope. Mm-hmm. Well, then this leads to this. And it's not like, okay, first you have to have all of these all at once to get them all at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like, no, like first you have to push through and first you have to keep going and then that's when that hope comes and that's when this like they stack on top of each other and it just shows like God knows we're a work in process. God knows that we're continually going to have to learn and to stack these things on top of each other over and over and over again, and we're not going to have all of these things all at one time functioning perfectly all together because that's the world that we live in, and until we come home to Jesus and we are living in our original home, which is heaven, we're gonna have all of that. But I love that verse and just the strategic way that it is stacked on top of each other, where one thing leads to one thing and then that thing can lead to another thing. It's so good.
For sure.
And for you, even in your life, it's just looking through, it's like, okay, you went through this really hard thing, took one vulnerable moment. Right? That was that one brave moment for you where you're sharing that. Well, that now led to you sharing your testimony in your gospel choir. And then that led to this and that led to this. And I think sometimes we think, okay, I said yes to Jesus or I'm following Jesus. Now I need to be a perfect Christian. Right? Like now I need to have it all together because that's what Christians do, right? Like we're perfect.
Right.
That is so false.
Yeah.
Because even just right there, it just shows like we are a work in progress, continually being transformed daily. And we're going to backslide and we're going to fail or we're going to fall straight on our face. And we're going to have to get back up and learn to be vulnerable again. And we're going to go back to old coping mechanisms and look at ourselves and be like, well, shoot, I did that again. And then be like, well, sorry, Jesus. I will do better next time. Like, just keep growing and keep learning, which is so good. And so I'm so glad that verse is so close to your heart because I think it is such a good reminder in so many different ways. It's so beautiful.
Definitely.
I love it. So, Angel, right now, I would love for you to read your letter to your younger self.
Dear younger me, while writing this, I can physically feel the emotional pain you were feeling. And you're wondering if it could get better, if life could be any different, if you could be loved, or if you could ever be quote-unquote normal. But also, I can assure you that the things that are hurting you right now in high school, they don't hurt the same way anymore. The things that you don't understand and the trials that seem to never end, they feel different. They are still hard, but it's different, and joy doesn't feel so far away anymore. It's near to you, and you know where it comes from now, and it can only come from Jesus. God will continue placing people and things in your life that draw you closer to Him. Look for those things and lean into those things. It was really hard to let go of some hard circumstances in your life and be vulnerable enough to let God in. But that's why things are different, because you let Him in. When you face more hard things, don't hide. Let God in and be intentional in giving it to Him. I know you feel so unloved and identified by your circumstances, your family, your friends, your parents' divorce, and school. But God doesn't look at you through this filter. He looks at you and He delights in you. You've already made some hard and brave decisions, and you're going to make more. But let God into those things, because your strength alone is not enough. You were never meant to do life alone, and you were never meant to fix your family. God has already graciously given you incredible people, and He's going to continue to give you those people. Let those people reflect His love to you and be vulnerable enough to share with His people. This draws you closer to Him, and you can rejoice in the ways that He works. When you feel ready to run from your emotions, remember God wants in, and so do your friends. They want to hear from you, and they will not love you any less. It feels so hard to love your family right now, but don't try to do it by yourself. You cannot love your family perfectly, but God can, so let Him help you, and let Him love them too. Don't carry the burden yourself, and stop trying to do everything by yourself. You were never meant to be a worldly version of your parents' child, but rather a beloved daughter of God. Love me.
Hmm. I love that last little bit that you're talking about. You were never meant to be, to carry these burdens on your own, because mm-hmm. it makes me think of, we live in a culture that like applauds strength mm-hmm. and just being like, wow, I can't believe they went through that on their own. They're so strong and they're so brave, like all of that. But there's a difference between a burden mm-hmm. and like, and just like regular hurts. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so in Galatians, it talks about how we need to bear one another's burdens, but we also need to carry our own load. It mm-hmm. says that in chapter 6, mm-hmm. like 3 verses away from each other. And what it's talking about is like the Greek is talking about burdens, where it's talking about those heavy boulders in our lives, mm-hmm. the things that we cannot carry on our own. Like we physically cannot carry these giant boulders in our life mm-hmm. on our own. And it says we need to bear each other's burdens. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're talking about there, is those burdens, those rocks, we need to bear with one another. And that's what we're meant to bring to others and to share with other people and to allow them to put their hand on that rock mm-hmm. while your hand is also on the rock. And you have a group of people carrying that with you, because it's just too much to bear. Yeah. Right. And the when it comes to like our daily loads, those are things that you put in your backpack. Those mm-hmm. are just everyday troubles. Those are emotional pains, not deep emotional pains, because mm-hmm. those can be boulders, but it's like, oh man, I feel so frustrated today. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't need other people to carry that for you. That's your own responsibility. Yeah. But I think a lot of times we cross all of those and we think that everything painful is either a thing that fits in everybody's backpacks and everybody else needs to carry rocks for us. Or we're like, you know what? I can push through and mm-hmm. carry all these big things because I don't want to share anything with anyone. Mm-hmm. Right. And we always overcompensate. But there's these two commands that God gives us in Galatians through those things where it's like, no, we were meant, like mm-hmm. these big boulders in our lives, the stuff like that you dealt with, we have to mm-hmm. share these with other people, or else we will be crushed underneath mm-hmm. the weight of the boulder. And that's what you were feeling. Like mm-hmm. when I asked you how you felt during that time, you said gross mm-hmm. because it's like you just felt like you were pulling so much. You had so much dirt on you. You'd fallen over so many times. Mm-hmm. You were crushed underneath this burden because you weren't allowing anybody else to put their hands on it and carry it with you. Mm-hmm. You know, and the freedom that you felt mm-hmm. when you were able to let go of that,
yeah.
like that is so huge. And I think, like, I can think of times in my life where I tried to carry a boulder by myself mm-hmm. and the difference that it makes
mm-hmm.
for me and the difference it made in my healing.
Yeah.
You know, and so once you let people in, that's when you could start healing
mm-hmm.
from the pain that you were going through. And yeah. so if somebody's listening to this and they're like, I struggle with letting people in. Mm-hmm. I struggle. Like, I have some boulders that I've carried by myself mm-hmm. in my life. What's some advice that you have for someone in that same spot?
Yeah. Finding safe people played such a large part in my life. And not just assuming that everyone was going to judge me for who my family was
yeah.
or judge me because of what I've done or anything like that. But being able to let those safe people into my life mm-hmm. because I found safe people, like junior this year at college, yeah. even last year. But, like, I didn't share with them for a really long time. And, like, even now, it still is hard sometimes to share with them. But, like, once I let them into that, like, not having to live, like, two separate lives at school and at home mm-hmm. and being able to let them love me the way that God wants them to love me, because God gives us people for a reason. Yeah. And, like, we're meant to love each other and support each other and be in community with one another. And every time that they speak into me, like, it draws me closer to God, because, like, they're reflecting God's love to me, and mm-hmm. I'm able to just talk it out and see the way that God is still working. So being intentional about finding those safe people, but also not, like, thinking, like, oh, they have to earn my trust yeah. and, like, stuff like that. Because if people are working to earn your trust, you're never going to find someone who is safe enough, I guess, if that makes sense. Like, yeah. if you're, like, looking for things, it's, yeah. you're going to find things. So
yeah, because we're all flawed.
Right.
You know, that's, like, everybody's going to make a mistake and hurt you mm-hmm. at some point in time. And that mm-hmm. doesn't mean that's your license to then cut everybody off. Mm-hmm. That's your license to see people in a different light.
Yeah.
You know, and open yourself up to them.
Yeah, for sure.
What keeps you in check when you head home and you're not in your college community environment? Mm. What keeps you from backsliding to different mm-hmm. things? Or has that been a struggle for you? Mm-hmm. And, like, now, what are some ways that you're some practices you're mm-hmm. putting into place mm-hmm. to keep yourself going?
Yeah, for sure. That's a good question. I have struggled with this all 4 years of college, going back home every single summer, because it's just so, like, it's not even necessarily just my family that's hard. It's yeah. like just being back mm-hmm. in my small town every single summer.
Well, it's going,
like,
back difficult. To that same environment right. too. That environment has so much baggage mm-hmm. with it.
Yeah.
That even walking into your room, it's like, wow, I remember mm-hmm. crying my junior year here. Yep. And now I'm back in that spot.
Yeah. So this year, before I went home for the summer, I was very intentional about thinking about it, because, like, every time I go home, I do go back into those same coping mechanisms where I draw away from people and I'm angry all the time and all that stuff. So I was intentional and had, like, intentional conversations about it. And since being home even, like, when I was home for quarantine yeah. last year, I, like, learned ways to, like, keep healthy and, like, be still intentional with God and yeah. draw closer to him. And alone time has been huge, like, being able to step away from my family and, like, understanding that I don't have to be around them the whole entire time that I'm home, and, like, having that intentional time to just go and be by myself and be with Jesus.
Yeah.
And then also getting out of my house too is yeah. huge. Huge. I think that I would have never done that in the past, but now, like, I like have to get out of my house, because, like, sometimes it's just hard to be there, and, mm-hmm. like, it's okay to, like, leave and go spend intentional time by myself somewhere else. So, like, feeding myself in different ways that I feel closer to God, too. Because there's, like, certain places that isn't home that I do feel closer to God and, like, able to draw nearer to him and things like that.
Yeah.
So just, like, being intentional about finding those ways, because I don't want my house to be an excuse to, mm-hmm. like, be unhealthy and stuff like that. So I've, like, learned how to, like, be intentional yeah. about getting away and stuff like mm-hmm. that.
That's so good what you just said. You don't want it to be an excuse for mm-hmm. being unhealthy. Mm-hmm. I think that is such an easy fallback mm-hmm. for people, where it's like, well, I'm stressed about money, so that's why I'm mad. Mm-hmm. Or I'm stressed about this, so that's, like, that's my permission slip to, like, slip up a little mm-hmm. bit. Like, you know, we use our circumstances mm-hmm. as an excuse all the time mm-hmm. and, like, even our location, like our house. So I'm home for the summer, so I can go and do this instead yeah. or, you know, yeah. all of that. And it's so, so good that you're being intentional about not letting this place that has a lot mm-hmm. of darkness for you, mm-hmm. let that be an excuse for you not to pursue the light of Christ mm-hmm. over and over and over mm-hmm. again. Mm-hmm. That's so good.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh. Yeah. Well, Angel, thank you so much for coming down here and for hanging out with me and for sharing your story with all of us listening. Mm-hmm. And, man, it just even learning and growing from you about, like, it's a challenge to me to be more vulnerable, that like check in of, like, okay, am I really being honest? Mm-hmm. You know, I think we need to continually be doing that. And so thank you for that challenge for me too. Mm-hmm. And I hope that everybody is able to take that second and to check themselves and be like, okay, is there something that's mm-hmm. that's hiding right now that I need to bring to the light?
Yeah.
Because that's where God works. God works in the light, mm-hmm. you know, but mm-hmm. luckily darkness is not dark to him either. Yes. So everybody at home, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you guys like us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever else podcasts are found. Leave us a review, share this with your friends. just spread the word. Let people know that this story is something that we want to listen to. And so, everybody at home, I hope you learned a ton more about yourself, a lot more about Angel, and even more about God. Go out and have an awesome day.